Hi. Welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler. I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host Dick Reichman for our monthly potpourri of literary snacks for the mind and interviews. And today our special guest is Ray Arno. And Ray has written a book, and it's going to satisfy a lot of your curiosity. I know. Have you ever wondered why, and the who and why of streets, parks, places of Anchorage? Well, Ray's written a book called Anchorage Place Names. So welcome, Ray.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Now, you also have a very interesting history as a person. Maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. I thought it was regular, but...
I think it's very fascinating.
Yes, I've been in Alaska for going on 48 years now. My parents came up as missionaries originally in 1960. My entire family, my parents, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews now, all still live in Homer.
Oh.
I left Homer when the Alaska State Troopers hired me in 1984, served my 20 years, and then I met Alden Todd at Jazz Sunday at Motherlode Lodge in Hatcher Pass.
Uh-huh.
And he talked me into helping him write this book. This is his vision.
Oh, how
this is Alden Todd's vision. He is a published author. He's written some fabulous books.
And he has a son named Flip.
And he had a son named Flip who happens to be a publisher.
That works.
But yes, unfortunately, Alden passed away before the book was published. But we pressed on and finished it, and there it is. And I'm really quite proud of it, actually.
That's wonderful that he is the godfather of this book. You know, you should be proud of it because, you know, I've always wondered about why certain things were named certain things, and especially in contemporary Alaska because a lot of history is very recent.
Yes, that's one of the interesting things about Anchorage place names is many of the things in Anchorage that are named for people, those people still live here. So this is a very young city.
No, it really, really is. And this is an exciting time to especially read this book because we're all celebrating the statehood of Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I was just glancing here about some of the people from bankers to bootleggers. Maybe you want to name a banker and a bootlegger who are in the book.
Well, you know, Rasmussen's are in there. Bootlegger Cove is in there.
Of course. Now, why is
why
it called?
Is it called that?
Yeah.
Why is it called that?
Well, you might have to turn to the page. Alcohol was prohibited in the city of Anchorage as it was then. It was pretty much a railroad company town, and the railroad administrators, the people
so
in charge, prohibited alcohol.
What time is this?
1915, probably, what, to the mid-20s?
So
they had to sneak
it was prohibition.
Alcohol in. Yes.
I guess it was prohibition in Alaska, too.
It really wasn't prohibition. It was railroad company policy.
Oh.
And this was the town was built by the Railroad Commission. So they prohibited alcohol, so they had to sneak
gambling
it in.
Gambling was okay, though, I bet.
You know, I don't know much about gambling, and I think if there was gambling, it was probably on the sly, too.
Mm-hmm. So that's where they were bootlegging the booze was on Bootlegger's Cove.
Bootlegger
who was
Cove.
Who was doing it? Who was the bootlegger?
You know, I have to tell you, I don't remember the name. Except
there was
that I think
one particular guy.
Yeah, there was one particular guy that was pretty famous for it. I think he had about three aliases.
Lucky Swede being one of them.
Lucky Swede, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Well, I'm just going to sort of browse through this book.
One of another interesting character, of course, was Spinard.
Oh, yeah, Spinard.
Oh,
tell us a little bit more about Spinard. Yeah.
Apparently, his dog team forged the road out to Spinard Lake from downtown Anchorage. He would come into town and have himself a wonderful time and fall asleep in his sled on the way home, and the dogs would find their way, and that became Spinard Road. And, of course, his lifestyle and his interests in life, the culture has carried on.
Well, there are the famous Spinard divorces and
Yeah, apparently Lake Spinard was a pretty fun place to go in the day. It was a bit of a trip out there. But people would go as more like a resort, you know, mm-hmm. like you might go to Alyeska or something now.
Well, Ray, how did you do your research? I mean, and what sparked your curiosity to explore the what's
well,
behind the names?
Alden Todd actually sparked the interest. He wanted to do this. He was in his 80s and said he just didn't have the energy to do the research, but he envisioned this book, so he asked me to help him out. Once I started digging in, I was fascinated by the lives and experiences of so many people who lived here and made this city what it is. And many of the people are they're all interrelated. You know, Wilda Marston, for whom the theater is named mm-hmm. in the library, is married to the son of Muktuk Marston, and she helped create the Lusac Library. These people are all connected. All these civic contributors to Anchorage are all connected.
That's true,
well,
like
they're
the
not all connected,
in the Atwoods,
but
for example,
yes, exactly. And so that's the beginning of Anchorage. The beginning of Anchorage is the railroad, but then these people came in and started to build a city, and here's who they are.
What was What was the first leg of the railroad? From Seward to Anchorage?
Were building several legs at the same time. They were going from Seward toward Anchorage and Anchorage toward Seward and Fairbanks, and from Fairbanks toward Anchorage. And they were doing this simultaneously.
So it was all going in at once.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. I just opened this book and discovered something I didn't know. Alden Todd was actually your dad?
No. Alden Todd is Flip Todd. The publisher's
Flip
father.
Has written this.
Yes, Flip wrote the introduction. Yes, the publisher wrote the introduction.
Now, there's a lesson there.
Yes.
Don't just grab something out of a book and declare it a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Frank Reed is still around, isn't he?
I believe that he is, yes. He's well into his 90s and has been here for many, many, many years. And is a friend of Flip Todd. So they collaborated a little bit on verifying the history.
Right. You know, he had the hotel. His parents had the Anchorage Hotel, where Sidney Lawrence had a room, and he bartered his paintings to stay there. So
right.
I always loved that. So, well, do you know a little bit about how they, you know, the City Fathers, when you come here, didn't seem that imaginative, like when they were naming the streets. Let's see, A Street, B Street, mm-hmm. C Street.
How did 4th Avenue get its name?
Yeah, then 4th and 5th
Avenue. Like I said, the downtown city of Anchorage, the downtown area was laid out by the railroad company.
So it was really just a planned and designed.
It was planned before built. Yes, it was not, you know, build a house and then make a road there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of homesteaders did that in Anchorage. They'd have 60 to 140-acre homesteads, and the trail to their homestead became a road. But downtown Anchorage was laid out by the Railroad Commission. Houses were built for railroad employees, both sides of Ship Creek. And so it was very organized with, you know, streets laid out one direction, A through, and the other way, alphabetically, you know, names that started with A and then numerically cross streets.
I was under the impression that the Government Hill section right in front of Elmendorf was the first section of the city, but you're saying no. The downtown was developed at the same time?
Yeah, the Government Hill area was the first section of the city. That's the first place that the Railroad Commission laid out streets.
Because they actually have street names up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a peak of imagination.
Well, I got to admit that I don't remember the exact details of that. One of the guys that was building houses up there, and I wish I remembered his name now, was building houses, and to help with the organization, he started naming some streets up there and named much of them after himself and his family.
But as one would be tempted to do.
Yes, but the organization of the streets downtown was by the Railroad Commission. Now, there are subdivisions in Anchorage. For example, you'll find if you read the paragraph under Arlene Street, a planning commission was running late at their meeting, getting tired of being there. They wanted to go home. So they just started naming streets after their kids and their pets just to get her done. So
I love it. And when their kids grew up, they loved it too, I bet.
I suppose. And, you know, I'm from Homer. Subdivisions down there are much the same. The developers name streets after their family or after a subject they're fascinated with. So,
of course. Now, that must have been fun to grow up in Homer.
It was. It was. We're talking the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. That's when the Kushners were doing songs.
Yeah, I went to school with a couple. One of the Kilchers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know Gretchen Birch, Yukon Island.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone over there?
Yes, I have.
Love that.
I have to. If you sell a whole bunch of these books for me on this radio program, then I'll write one about Homer.
How did Homer get its name? What does that name come from?
Homer,
Iliad, maybe?
There was a gold miner named Homer Pennock, which, by the way, is also in the Anchorage Place Names book, because there is a Pennock Street in Anchorage also named after Homer Pennock. But he had visions of gold in Homer, mm-hmm. and the establishment that he created for his employees was the first real development in Homer. He did not find gold, not worth his investment. Coal ended up making Homer a town, and they had a railroad out to the end of the spit for shipping.
Oh.
And now, of course, it's a fishing.
Oh, it's an arts town for sure.
It is an arts town. I think the economy has primarily been fishing and homes for slope workers, et cetera.
Right.
Because it's picturesque. You know, it's a place where people like to build their home and work somewhere else.
So you mean, lots of times Homer is kind of deserted. I mean, a lot of people are not there.
I wouldn't say deserted, no. Yeah. It's a pretty busy city right now. But there are folks who, you know, work in the North Slope or
mm-hmm.
work
mm-hmm.
outside, out in the bush or whatever, and want a beautiful place to build their home, their home base, and that's a really beautiful town.
Yeah, and of course, Baudet helped make Homer nationally famous mm-hmm. with his books.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Did you know Tom Baudet then?
I have met him,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Well, you'd think in a small town, everybody would absolutely know each other.
Well, I've been gone for 25 years,
okay.
you know, so.
Well, that's true.
It's not the same town as when I left, but I visit now and again, but.
Well, let's get back to Anchorage here.
Yeah.
I always drive by.
That'll be my next book.
Who's Russian Jack? I always drive by and wonder who he is and then never remember to look it up.
Well, he has several aliases. He, I believe, had a alcohol establishment in town. Apparently, he ended up losing it because he couldn't prove his citizenship. He sold firewood out of what is now the park. He lived there, kind of.
Oh, he lived where and what is now the park.
Right.
Did he donate the land to the city then or something?
Mm, better look it up.
Okay.
Better look it up.
I'm looking up Russian Jack in the book.
That's the sweet thing about the book. They're all alphabetical there.
Yes, it is.
And they're all fairly short paragraphs. He was, I believe that he was squatting. He was
okay.
a squatter.
She
the property was
foot.
Yeah, the property was actually owned at the time that he was living there by some other folks. And he, I believe, was conducting some not totally legal business.
Here it says in 1943, the U.S. Army bought the land, presumably for its natural springs, and then sold it to the city in 1948.
Right.
As a secondary source of water.
There's a natural spring there, and that's, of course, where they built the greenhouses and end up having, for a little while, a minimum security prison facility, and the prisoners ran the greenhouse. But Russian Jack is known for selling firewood out of there that didn't belong to him because it wasn't his property, and for moonshine.
Genuine old-time Alaskan hero.
That's right.
Exactly, yes, an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
There you go. That is the Alaskan spirit.
Early Alaskan entrepreneur.
Were there any stories as you were researching this book that really surprised you? As you're researching, did something say, wow, I never would have thought that happened?
I wouldn't say there were any real surprises like that. What surprised me about a lot of the people in the book was their fortitude, mm-hmm. their vision, their refusal to even think they couldn't do something. Some of the folks that created Anchorage, that worked for the railroad, walked from Seward to here along the railroad line. They walked up here to get a job.
So the perseverance.
I wouldn't think of doing that.
Well, not in the winter.
I wouldn't think of doing that anytime coming through the mountains, you know. We didn't have
That's kind
the
of
Seward Highway.
That's right. Well, did you have some favorites, though, as you were doing these?
Oh, you know, because they're so colorful. Mm-hmm. Joe Spinard, Russian Jack, those are some of my favorites because they are very colorful people. Very interesting. You could write, well, people have written books and books about these guys because they're just fascinating. The personal sacrifice of many has also impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
Contributing to committees and choirs and schools and things in town.
Yeah, it was a wee kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yes.
A real civic engagement.
Yes, the people who started these things, who put so much effort into creating arts, schools, things like that in Anchorage. And I'm glad that they're named after them now.
Right. Well, I'm thinking, of course, of Zach and the Lusac Library,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have in here about the original library, which was located where Egan Center is now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. There's a lot of landmarks in Anchorage that have been moved for development's sake or for whatever sake.
Right. Club 25 is across the street from us at 4th and D, and I mm-hmm. guess they actually moved the entire building at one point because they were building the Captain Cook Hotel.
Okay. See, now I didn't know that.
Well, that was actually down where the Captain Cook is now.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, let's see.
What was the condition of the town during the Gold Rush?
It wasn't actually a town yet, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a town at all.
It wasn't a town, really. What was his name? Is it Eli Whitney? Was here. He had a cabin down on Ship Creek. I am not too sure. They had miners here. Down, you know, mining in the Turnagain area. And the Browns came, originally hired by the Forest Service to keep an eye on the miners for their safety as well as regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved into a cabin on Ship Creek, and they're some of the first people that actually lived where Anchorage is now.
What caused the town to get going? You say
the railroad.
Railroad.
Yeah.
And why here?
Well, the railroad did have to do with gold because the railroad was going from Seward, which was basically the port of Alaska at the time, to the gold mines in Fairbanks.
Uh-huh.
So, and Anchorage was a central point.
The Cook Inlet had something to do with that, I guess.
Well, Seward is where ships landed, passengers came at the mm-hmm. time. Seward is much older than Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to connect boat traffic to the gold mines up around Fairbanks, and that, hence the railroad.
Well, if Seward is the port, how come we call this city Anchorage? Where'd that name come from?
Well, it became a port, obviously,
uh-huh.
after.
But it's a much less significant one even today.
Well, I think as far as economic scale, Anchorage is pretty huge now for Alaska. Seward isn't the main port. I think it's just one of the oldest.
Yeah, here it says, because they established a post office, which they named Anchorage in 1915, that's why that became the permanent name.
Many cities in Alaska and many streets in Anchorage that are named after cities in Alaska is why they're in the book. But most of them have the name they do because of a post office established.
But like, somebody named a post office, though, right?
Well, many of them are native names. They're originally native names. A lot of Alaska villages that have post offices. And then, of course, you know, white people come and can't pronounce the name very well, so it gets a little bit realigned a couple of times, and by the time they get a post office, that's the name.
Right. And, of course, now Denali's a wonderful example of something returning to its original name instead of McKinley.
Right. Yes, it still uses both names.
Oh, okay. But I think it's wonderful that the new convention center is mm-hmm. named Denali. You know, I'm looking here under the T's, and under the T's is Turnagain Arm, which everybody drives or knows about. And maybe you could tell us the story again about why it's named Turnagain Arms, because that's a famous story.
Yes, I think it's mostly a well-known story in Anchorage because obviously Cook was trying to find the Northwest Passage and hoping to have found it through that channel. The tide was actually running out so fast when he was trying to sail it that he thought it was a river.
Yeah.
And named it Turnagain River. But it was subsequently renamed Turnagain Arm. Because he had to turn again. It was not the first time he had to turn around.
Yeah, I like that story.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's one I didn't know either, about Valley of the Moon Park. It's named for Jack London's home.
Yes, it is. And apparently they built a rocket there as a plaything for children, assuming that it was named after, you know, the attempt to reach the moon, which it was not. Valley of the Moon is a place in California.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's like she says, Jack London's hometown, home place.
In Sonoma Valley, it's busier. And, of course, well, we were talking about Seward, but, you know, there is Seward and the Seward Highway. And it is all named after the guy who bought Alaska from the U.S.
Yep.
So.
Who was Kincaid?
Kincaid was basically a property owner. He owned a lot of property. A construction company, and Kincaid Park. It's still just
he was legitimate.
I believe so. Yes,
wow.
You know, as a matter of fact, the Kincaid family obviously is still around, and you know, things became a lot more legitimate in later years. They weren't the early Alaska entrepreneurs, but they traded land with the city for development of the airport and.
And so now they have a park named after them.
Yes, and so they had a park named for them.
KFQD Park.
Yes.
Now, why did they do a park after a radio station?
Well, because KFQD made some significant monetary and labor donations to build the park.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was named for them. Yes. KFQD, by the way, the first radio station in Anchorage. Followed by many great ones, obviously.
Right, right. Well, you know, radio was so important in the early 20s, and it's the only way you could communicate beyond the borders.
Right.
I'm not
sure when television came to Americans, but it came to Alaskans even much later.
Yeah, they didn't have the satellite.
Right.
Was that the 50s, I think? Something like that. Everybody else knew the scores on the big games and who got elected earlier.
Well, I grew up in Homer. We got TV much later even than people in Anchorage.
Really?
So.
Well, you know, maybe that was a good thing.
Yes.
Well, why the Sterling Highway going down to Homer? Who was that?
I can't tell you, as I know.
I'm asking you things outside the purview of the book.
When I write my book about Homer, it'll be in there.
Mr. Sterling will show up.
Well, there are streets named Sterling in Anchorage. And, and that's a beautiful highway.
Yeah.
It really is. So.
Maybe it's named after the view. Down the highway.
A sterling view.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. Yeah, yeah. I guess it's not a good thing I grew up in Homer and don't know, but.
Well, so that's all the better for the book about Homer, which I hope you do write, because
yes.
This stuff is really, really interesting. So, of course, Elmendorf, well, maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
I don't believe Elmendorf. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't have my book memorized.
Oh, okay.
But I don't believe he ever lived in Alaska. I think the base was named for him for other heroic or memorable contributions to the military.
Yeah, that's what it says.
He was a pilot.
Yeah, quite a daring pilot.
I think he did a lot of not just flying for the military, but competitions, and won a lot of competitions. But
that was the Alaskan spirit, daredevil. Spirit.
Richardson, however, did come to Alaska.
Oh, he was the one who built the Richardson Highway? The Richardson Highway?
Oh, it's named after him?
I believe that he planned it and organized its construction, yeah.
And
the construction, or preparing Alaska for war, at Fort Richardson, yeah, started building there. Things have been...
But I thought he was much earlier. I'm from Valdez, actually, so he's known as building that or designing that first highway from Valdez to Fairbanks.
Right, and you could be right.
Before Anchorage existed, I think.
Well, let's see what it says, Sandy. Now, see, folks need to buy this book so they can keep it straight, because how can you remember every little thing? You have to have a reference.
You do have to have a reference, and it's kind of fun to know what street you live on, what the history of it was.
Now, every street in Anchorage isn't in this book, obviously.
A lot of
them. This is a pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to, when I was putting it together, I had to draw the line somewhere. I can't put every lake in every park. Some parks in Anchorage are nothing more than a bench on a sidewalk that's owned by the city, and it's considered a park. I couldn't possibly get them all in there. And if our listeners live on a street that's not in the book, I certainly apologize.
Or maybe they want to find out themselves.
Yes. The book was meant to be something you could slip into your pocket or your purse as a tourist or a newcomer cruising around Anchorage wanting to know what these things are.
Yeah, and some things, like I'm looking at Eagle Street now, which was, of course, named after Eagle,
mm-hmm.
Which is a very famous place.
Yes, it is. The first seat of government in Alaska, territorial government, first judge.
And let's see.
Who was DeBar?
You know what? That is not in the book.
That's not in the book.
And Lake Otis is not in the book because I...
The tutor is.
I swear to you, I could not find definitive answers. There's a lot of speculation out there. And all the speculation doesn't all match, so it didn't go in the book.
So you didn't put anything.
I imagine I could have put in there Lake Otis. Nobody knows for sure.
Is there a lake somewhere?
There was, yes.
Why do you think these things get lost?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I would encourage any listener that knows to please contact Todd Communications.
So there's no Lake Otis.
I believe that there was a Lake Otis, and I imagine a lake named after whoever Otis was, but
we don't know.
Right. Like I said, I found things that were speculative, but they didn't all match up with each other, so I couldn't confirm it.
That was being a good scientist. Not to speculate.
There you have it.
But there are lots of people we do know in this book, like Delaney. Delaney is a very famous name in our town.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell us a little bit about him. James Delaney. Is the park strip named after him? Delaney Park Strip?
Yeah, I believe so.
The Delaney Park Strip was originally a fire break between the city and the forest, what they originally built it for.
Okay.
Then they smoothed it all out and started landing airplanes there.
An airstrip.
Yes, and is it Bruce Merrill?
Yes.
Was flying in and out of there, as well as some other famous aviators in Alaska.
Yeah, they had
the park strip.
That's right. They had a special ceremony, I know, to commemorate the first flight to Fairbanks from Merrill Field, which was the park strip.
Right.
Well, you guys, we have to close the program soon because we're running out of time, but I guarantee you there's lots of wonderful things to know and find out in this book, and I highly recommend you check it out and find out about many of the families that still live in Alaska and why streets, parks,
places.
And lakes are named after them. Thank you, Ray, so very much
for
visiting us today. And be sure to visit us again next month for the next edition of the Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.